Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, I got to tell you today, we made it. We made it, church. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And so I'm just going to catch you up because we made it. Yesterday, we finished our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it was incredible what God did. I got to tell you, it was awesome, but I'm excited to eat today. I just want you to know that. And I've been fasting lunch, and so I'm looking forward to lunch. We actually have some family in town, so we're going to do lunch together and just excited about what God did. And I just got to tell you personally, I had three or four things I was praying, like big things, personally and also for us as a church that I was praying for. And I just want you to know, I'm going to put you on alert. God spoke to me during these last 21 days of prayer and fasting. And here very soon, you're going to have to hold on tight a little bit, but here very soon, I'm going to reveal some of that. And I'm telling you, we've got exciting days ahead. And so we're excited about what God is doing around here. And our future is bright. So stay tuned for that. Well, if you're new around here, we're in part four of a series, the finale of a series that we've been calling Soul Detox. And that's exactly what we're asking God to do during this series, to come in and clean us up from the inside out. And if you've been here for any weeks during this series, you know we've tackled some huge topics during this series. We've talked about depression and suicide and addiction throughout these weeks. And so if you're brand new today, or maybe you missed one of those, you're out of town, or the kids were sick, I encourage you to go on our website. We always archive those messages, and I think they'll be helpful for you just like they've been for many. We're so thankful for what God's doing in this series. And really, as we finish today, there's a specific direction that I really felt like the Holy Spirit has led us to. And so today, the topic is this: identity. That's what we're going to talk about today. Who we are, who I am, who you are, who we are in Christ. And not just that, but today we're also going to talk about being confident in who we are. And here's what I've realized. There are a lot of people, especially in a big city like Houston, that don't know who they are. They can be past retirement age and on the tail end of their life and still not know the reason why they were born. There's so many people out there, young and old alike, that lack confidence, that lack a high self-esteem because they have a low self-esteem, people that really don't understand their value in this world. And if we were all honest, and I hope we can be honest in church today, if we were all honest, I think we've been there before, and maybe you're there right now. Like, who am I? Like, am I a dad? Is that my identity? Am I a husband? Is that my identity? Am I a pastor? Is that my identity? Who am I really? And here's what's interesting to me, that this is a major issue that we struggle with as adults and young adults, but kids don't really struggle with this. Have you realized that? Think about it with me today. We struggle together, but children really don't struggle with this idea. A lot of you know this, but my wife and I, we've got two kids. We've got a 5-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter. And I think about my son, and if you know him, you know this, but he has never lacked confidence a day in his life. Like 5 years old, getting close to 6 here in a few months, and he's never lacked confidence. Like literally, this is our lives. He can wear rain boots, Chewbacca pajamas, and a cowboy hat out, and he is rocking it, baby. I'm telling you. He is strutting his stuff. That is a real outfit, by the way, that he will wear. Like, he's never lacked confidence a day in his life. But as we grow older, it almost seems like our confidence, we lose sight of it. Like, it flees from us, and we got to go find it again. Here's what I know. The world beats us down. Life is not easy. And if you think it's easy, you're just not old enough. Because I'm telling you, life is challenging. And so because of all of this, our identity, who we really are, is no longer clear to many. Now, going back to my son, you could ask him this question. In fact, I asked him this last week. But you could ask him, like, who are you? This three-word question. Who are you? And here's what he would say. I'm Luke. That's his name. I'm Luke. I'm my dad's son. That's who he would say that he is. But if you ask an adult that same question, try it this week, that's not the answer that you'll normally get. Typically, an adult, they'll talk about their achievements in life. Like, who are you? Well, I've accumulated this amount of money, and I'm a doctor. I've been a doctor. I've had my practice for this many years. Who are you? When you ask an adult that question, the answer is not their name and then just whose son they are or what's going on in them. It's usually what they've done or what they wish they could do. They'll list their accomplishments and their achievements. Now, I want you to think back to my son again for just a moment. And I want you to imagine with me that when I asked him this last week, who are you, that if he went that same route, what would that look like? Like if I asked my son, 5 years old, who are you, son? And he says to me and my wife, well, you know what, Dad, I'm a good guy. And you know what, I'm really the best Lego builder on our street. No, his achievements in life, 5 years old. Well, son, who are you? Well, you know what, Dad? I've accumulated thousands of Legos in my life, and I'm hoping to retire early. Well, who are you, son? Well, last week, I scored 6 points in my rec basketball league. That's who I am. No, that would be crazy, right, for a kid to say that. But there we are as adults and young adults, and that's how we define our lives. As we grow older, it's easy to lose our identity. As you scan our culture and as you scan our churches, there's an identity crisis going on. There's a confidence crisis taking place. We no longer know who we are. And I believe in Jesus' name that's going to change today. So if you've got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn to one verse, one place in God's word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If you've got the Bible app, we've got the message notes in there. You can find those very easily. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is where we're going to stick and stay. We'll have some supplemental verses, but this is our main text. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and you guessed it, it's right before 2 Peter. So if you find that one, go back one book in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm reading out the NIV, but whatever translation you have should work wonders for us. I'm going to jump in because I got a lot to share and not a lot of time to do it. Here's what God's word says. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of God, who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Calling this message today, get your confidence back. Get your confidence back. Let's pray. God, we love you so much, and I just pray for your church. I pray for those in this room and those listening online, God, that don't know who they are, and the truth is there's many. They don't know who they are, and when we would ask them that question I talked about at the beginning of the message, they would honestly have went where most people go, and they would have listed what they've done and who they've been able to build relationships with and what they hope to accomplish one day and their history. That's where they would go, God, because they don't really know who they are. And I pray for those people today, that today through your word, you would reveal to them supernaturally who they are and whose they are, because they are your children. So I pray, God, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to every heart and every life, that the exact word that they need to hear, they would hear loud and clear. That Holy Spirit, even if you need to take things in a different direction than what we've planned, we give you full reign because we're not here just to play patty cake with you. We're here to be cleaned up from the inside out. We want to meet with the God of the universe today. So have your way in us. Speak to us because your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all ready, man. I'm pumped up. We just read famous verse, and in fact, if you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard a few messages on this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so what I've been praying this week, and it's kind of unique, maybe a little different than normal, but what I've been praying this week, honestly, this is the honest truth, even praying this morning, what I've been praying is not that you would find like new truth that you hadn't discovered before. That's not my prayer today. My prayer is this, that the truth that you already know would sink deeper in your soul. That's my prayer today. That the truth that you already know would like literally sink deep into your soul. I pictured it and I prayed this way literally, that it'd be like a switch in your soul that would finally be switched on. That's what I'm praying for today. That it wouldn't be the truth for someone else. It would be your truth because it is the truth today. That's my prayer for us. And I know it's just one verse, and maybe you're thinking, how do you fit a whole message into one verse? I'm telling you, we could do a whole series on this verse. But because I don't have a lot of time, quickly, I'm going to highlight a few things that I think are going to be very, very helpful for us all. If you're taking notes, you should write this down in the Bible app. It's already there. But here's the first truth to getting your confidence back. This is God speaking this over your life. Number one, you are not a photocopy. Write that down. You are not a photocopy. Peter, the author here, tells believers, people that are following Jesus, that you are a chosen people. A chosen people. And I've said this before, but you need to know today that God does not own a copy machine in heaven. Like he doesn't. God doesn't own a 3D printer up there, okay? God doesn't make clones. He doesn't make duplicates. I'm preaching today. Y'all gonna help me out? Like, God makes original copies. That's what he does. You are not a photocopy. You are not a clone. I gotta tell you, there's no cheap knockoffs. You will not find Dr. Thunder in heaven. Amen, somebody? I'm just saying it's Dr. Pepper all the way, okay? Like, there's no such thing. Sorry, forgive me. Everything about you is unique. I'm telling you, everything about you. You know this, but let me remind you of it. Your thumbprint is unique. Your footprint is unique. Your voice print is unique. Your eye print is unique. Even down to your DNA, it's all different. You are special. You are God's chosen people. And that's all great and cool, but here's my favorite part about you and me. We are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you're fast, if not, just write it down. So God created mankind, humanity, that's us, in his image, in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, us, male and female. He created them. This is powerful. Because nothing else in all creation can say this. Like nothing, that they were made in God's image. Y'all know this. We love our puppies, okay? We love our pets. We love our animals. But they can't say that. It's just the truth. We love our trees and we love our land. And in Texas, we love our lakes. But they can't say that. They were created by God, but they weren't made in God's image. We love the stars and we love the planets, even though I heard a while back that Pluto's not a planet anymore. I don't know what's going on in our world, but I'm telling you, they can't say it either. Only you were made in God's image. It's incredible. It's powerful. You are not a photocopy. We are his chosen people. Now, it's important that you see, you weren't just chosen because there was you were the only one left over. Like, you weren't just chosen because there was no one else he could choose. Like, God wants you. He chose you intentionally, carefully. It reminds me again of my son, our son Luke. Every once in a while, it takes a little while to get to this point, but every once in a while, he saved up enough money that we'll take him shopping. And we're trying to teach him young. And so, we do that. We've got a piggy bank, and he's got a savings account, all that kind of stuff. There's not much money, but there's some there. And so we're teaching him these things. And every once in a while, he'll save up enough, and we'll go shopping. Now, how many of y'all know, when you got kids or grandkids, you understand that they never get, typically, especially the young ones, they never get real excited about clothes, right? Like he'll try them on and all that, but like when we're shopping for a toy or candy, he's all in, baby. I'm just letting you know, he is all in. So after a while, he's saved up enough money, and we get ready to do that. And we're really trying to train him. In fact, this isn't like a part of this message necessarily, but I just want to talk to the parents in the room for just a second. It is your responsibility to train your children. So I want you to know that, okay? And not just when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to finances as well. And it's not one of those things where you say, do what I say, but do what I do. That's the better way. And so we're trying to do that. We teach them to save. We teach them to tithe. And I got to tell you, this is really, really cool. I'm excited about this. But this last year, 2018, our son, he tithed $3.46. Like, isn't that awesome? I'm just trying to talk to the parents for a second, okay? And then we'll get back. But this is important too. And so some of you know this, but anybody that gives like a dime to the church, we send you a giving statement. Now, some of that's for tax purposes, and we just sent one out for 2018, but we also send them out quarterly. And you better believe it. Again, $3.46, whatever it was. You better believe that our son gets one of those statements. Why? Because I take that opportunity and I tell you about what God's doing and where we're going and what your money is going to. And I got to tell you, every single time that he gets one of those letters and we tell him, hey, son, because of you giving your $3.46, over 170 people gave their life to Jesus these last 14 months. We tell him, hey, son, because of what you sacrificed and didn't spend on yourself and blow it on candy, because we know you love candy, but because you gave to God's house, we helped families in financial crisis. Because you gave to God's house, we support missionaries throughout the world. And here's the cool thing, Luke, they go to places that we can't get to, and they're hard places, but they tell people that Jesus loves them, and then they help them. It's just really awesome. And his eyes light up. I'm just telling you, parents, it's your responsibility to train your children. And so he waits, he saves up, he tithes, he honors God first, and then we go to the store. And where else would we go but the Lego store, y'all? It's where he chooses. And so we're there. Doesn't happen a ton because it takes a while for him to save up. Delayed gratification, which I think we could all use some of that in our lives. And so he gets there to the store, and we get finally to the Lego aisle, this section there. And the first question he always asks us is this, how big of a Lego set can I get, right? Like, that's the first question. And we'll supplement, you know, what he's got a lot of times. And so we tell him, hey, it's this kind of this size box, and you get this much money. And then we step back and we watch. And I got to tell you, it's a religious experience for my son. Like this is the truth. I'm not exaggerating. Like, literally, he will walk back and forth. He'll grab one off the shelf. Oh, you want that one? No. I was just looking at it. You know, he'll put it back. And I'm just telling you, this boy is meticulous, y'all. Like, he's been saving his own money for a long time. And eventually, 14 hours later, he decides. He's like, all right, I want this one. Is there enough money? Yeah, you can have this one. What does my boy do? True story. He grabs it off the shelf himself if he can reach it, and he holds on to that, what he chose. He holds on to it tightly, and he takes it all the way to the cash register. And what does he do? He pays for it himself at the cash register. It's his money. He saved. He earned. After he pays, you better believe that he keeps holding on to that toy. He don't need no bag, y'all. Like, he's like, I got two hands, Dad. I got this. And he will hold on to that thing the rest of the time we're at the store. And guess what? The rest of the time that we're in the car too. Why? Because he saved. Because he sacrificed. Because he chose that toy. And I got to tell you today, that's how it is with you and God. It's just the truth. God wants you. He chose you. No one made him pick you. He was meticulous about it, and he sacrificed for you. You need to know that today. He wants you. He didn't get stuck with you. He wants you. And here's what I love about God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says this, that you were bought with a great price. A great price. What was the cost? The cost was God's son, Jesus, dying on the cross. The price was great. The cost was great. And another place in God's word, I love this. It tells us that when you commit your life to Jesus, no one can take you out of God's hands. Like, nobody can grab you out. Nobody's stronger than God. You are a chosen people, not a photocopy. Well, who am I? You are a chosen people. Well, you're telling me, Pastor, that even though I'm a sinner and even though I've got doubt, and even though I got fear, and even though I got worry, God wants me? Yes, he wants you. He loves you. You are his. Here's the second thing you need to know to get your confidence back. I hope I'm helping somebody today. Number two, you have royal blood. Like, what? Yeah, you do. Royal blood. Peter tells the church, if you're a Christ follower, that you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. When you give your life to Christ, hear me today. When you give your life to Christ, you instantly have two major status changes that take place. Like instantly, two major status changes. The first is that you become royal, and the second is that you become a priest. You need to know that. And I want to talk about these a little bit today because we really don't understand them properly, especially here in America. So let's take them one at a time. Last time I checked, we don't have kings and queens here in America. Now, we got people throughout history that act like kings and queens, but that's a whole message for another day. We do not have kings and queens here in America. We left that. Now, some people, even though they act that way, it is not true. And so it's hard to grasp this idea of royalty. You know, we watch the royal wedding, or, you know, for guys that are married, your wife makes you watch the royal wedding, you know, when somebody gets married. And we like it from a distance, but we really don't understand it. But the original audience, when Peter would have told them this, you are a royal priesthood, they would have instantly understood it, and they would have understood it properly. Jewish readers that have been reading 1 Peter chapter 2, they would have understood this, and they almost certainly would have thought of King David. That's where they would have went instantly in their mind. They would have thought about King David's royal bloodline. And back then, there was no way, unless by birth, that you could be a part of his bloodline. Like, no way. It was impossible to be a part of the royal family. Now, Roman readers that would have read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, they would have understood it as well, and they have certainly would have thought of the Roman emperor when they read this, a royal priesthood. And again, for Romans, there was no way that they could become royalty. Y'all know this, right? They don't just do random lottery drawings for you to become a part of the royal family. It is impossible unless you are royal blood. And so for Peter to tell them, and for Peter to tell us that when you give your lives to Christ, you are now royalty, it changes the game. It's impossible becoming possible. It's an incredible thing. It's almost like, picture it like this. It's almost like a fairy tale becoming reality. That's what Peter is talking about here. You are now royal priests. You are royal. And so what that means for us is that we are now adopted into the royal family. Like, we are now, I'm talking to the Christians in the room, Christians listening online. We are now royalty. We are sons and daughters of the King. And here's what this means for you and me. It means this. We also have all the privileges that come with that royalty. Think about that. All of the privileges we now have because we are sons and daughters of the King. You have royal blood. Here's the second status change, is we all become priests. Well, I thought that was just the guys like the white collar and all that. No, no, no. New Testament, us, when you give your life to Jesus, you are now a priest. And trust me, you do not have to wear a certain thing to become a priest. Just letting you know, okay? I'm not handing them out or selling them in the back after service. You are now a priest. You're royalty, but you're also a priest. And it's just as powerful. The Jewish priest, which is what Peter was talking about, the Jewish priests of the Old Testament before Jesus, they were also from a special family. You need to know that. They were approved by God. And there's so many similarities to what Jesus is for us in the New Testament church. But if you go back then, the priests, they were the mediators between God and us. That's what they were. If you wanted to be forgiven of your sin back in Bible times, Old Testament times, you would go to a priest and he would help you with the necessary sacrifice. That's how it worked. The priest would meet with God for the people and then report back. And hear this, this is good. The priests back then were the only ones that could enter the Holy of Holies. They were the only ones that could encounter the Lord's presence. But now, when you become a believer in Jesus, you don't need some priest to get you to God. All you need is Jesus. That's how it works. No longer, I'm telling you, pastors are important. I'm a pastor, okay? Pastors are important, but guess what? You're a pastor too. And no longer do we need some man or woman to help us get to God. Jesus was our mediator. He's the one that came and he died on the cross. He rose from the dead. That's Easter, y'all. He is the one that we need. We are a royal priesthood. We are children of God. And now, therefore, we have direct access to God. It's incredible. It's a game changer. I've said it before and it just blows my mind. But I cannot get an audience with our president. I can't. I cannot get an audience with the Queen of England or some king of some country. I cannot get an audience with them, but in a millisecond, I get an audience with the King of the universe. It's incredible. I can't get in front of them as hard as I try, as much as I would try. I can't get in front of them, but I can get in front of the one that they'll bow to one day. Just telling you, Jesus is our King. We are sons and daughters. We are priests. It's incredible. So who are you? You're a royal priesthood. So much more I could say, but we got to keep going here. Here's the third point and the final point. Spend a little time on this one. Help get your confidence back. Number three, you have a voice. Don't waste it. Hope you'll write that down. You have a voice. Don't waste it. There's an important aspect of identity that well-meaning people miss all the time. And maybe you're in that place. It's probably not a surprise to some that I've talked about how we're children of God, especially if you grew up in church. You've heard that your whole life. Probably not a surprise to some for me to say, you know what? You're a son and daughter of the King. You're a priest. Probably not shocking for some, especially the seasoned saints in the room. But here maybe is what would be shocking to you. In the same way that you need to know who you are and whose you are, for your identity's sake, you also need to know your purpose in life. In fact, your purpose, the very reason why you're alive, helps shape your identity as well. And maybe you're thinking to yourself at the beginning of the message, the first like 3-4 so far, well, that's good, Pastor Ryan. Yeah, I've got royal blood. Yeah, I'm a chosen people. You're making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. This is great. You know, oh yeah, I feel like it's an episode of Barney, Pastor Ryan. You know, we're gonna all hold hands and sing Kumbaya in a second. Like maybe you felt that way. And if you feel that way, let me talk to you directly for a second. Those are important for you to know how special you are because you really are, but you cannot miss what so many people miss, and it shapes your identity and it's your purpose. It's your purpose. I gotta tell you today that you were meant to make a difference, and if you're not making a difference, you are not satisfied. This is gonna set somebody free today. The other parts may not be shocking, I don't know, but this will help you. Who you are and whose you are, it's important, but it's equally important to know your purpose in life. I want you to think about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says this about us, the church. You're chosen, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, God's special possession, all that stuff. But did you notice that verse 9 did not end after God's special possession? There was not a period there. You can look back to check. In fact, the sentence kept going that, hey, I've told you all this stuff about who you are and whose you are so that you may declare his praises. Like, you need to know who you are and how God sees you, but there's a purpose behind it. That you may declare the praises of God. Don't miss this today. This is going to help somebody. You will never feel satisfied. You will never find meaning until you begin to fulfill your purpose in life. I love this quote, and I've shared it before. But the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you realize why you were born. You got to know your purpose in life. And I'm telling you, there's so many people that are in retirement that still do not know their purpose. Your purpose is not to get up, pay the bills, spend time with some family, and then go to sleep and repeat the process. That is not your purpose. Your purpose is not just to make another dollar. It's not your purpose. Your purpose is not to accumulate wealth. It's not your purpose. Well, what's my purpose? That you would declare the praises of God. Now, here's an amazing thing. This is going to help you. Amazing thing about God is that we each have individual purposes. Like in the body of Christ, we all play different parts. I've told you before, but my job is not to sing, okay? If I sang, our church would decrease and not increase, okay? Like there would be no one here today if I'm just telling you. Like that's not my gift. It's not my talent, okay? As awesome as Dante looks on the drums every Sunday, like I can't do what Dante does. I'm just telling you. Like we all have gifts and abilities, like specific to us. But here's what I really love about God, that no matter what gift you have, no matter what talent you have, no matter how much resource or how little resource you have, we share collectively a purpose. And that's to declare the praises of God. Well, what do you mean? Think about it. If you're a nurse, do you know that on that career path, on the job that you've chosen, you can declare the praises of God? You can help your patients physically, but you can also help them spiritually. You're a teacher. Did you know today that in your occupation, you can declare the praises of God? Well, I'm a construction worker, or I work in an office, I'm in a cubicle. Do you know that even in your cubicle, you can declare the praises of God? In everything that we do, we should be proclaiming God's name and not our own. So what does that look like, Pastor? I'll tell you. To worship the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but man, worship just so powerful. I don't usually cry. My wife can tell you, but I couldn't hold them back this morning. I mean, it's God just moving. I'm telling you, that's not coincidence. That's 21 days of prayer and fasting leading up to that moment. I'm telling you. We should worship the Lord. That's how you declare his praises. You know how else you declare his praises? You tell your coworkers, you tell your friends about Jesus. That's how you declare God's praises. Well, how do I do that? I'm a student. I'm in school. You know, you realize this, that the person you're sitting beside is not really an accident or a coincidence. You realize that your college campus, your high school campus is a mission field. And I'm going to declare God's praises. And no matter what job or what career you have, you can all accomplish God's purpose for your life. It's incredible. In fact, I want to close with this before we pray. I was thinking about this and I think this is going to help. But you need to know that you don't only declare God's praises with your words. Did you know you can declare God's praises with your life? And some of you will never hold a microphone on a platform because that's not your calling. But you know that for many of us, the best sermon you'll ever preach will be your life. And your life will declare the praises of God. Just telling you today that if you don't know who you are, if you lack self-esteem, you lack confidence, the truth is you've probably been wasting your voice. You don't have a reason to get up in the morning because it's 9 to 5 and repeat. So I want to tell you what our purpose is at the church. I try to get it into every single message that I can. It's a huge part of who we are. In fact, it's our why. And y'all need to know your why. Like, why? Why do I sacrifice? Why do I give? So I'll tell you, it's real simple. It's going to be on the screen if you're in the room. Our vision is heaven full and hell empty. It's what we sang about moments ago. Don't rush past this. It's not just a cute phrase for us. This is our why. So I'm just telling you, when I sacrifice and why, when I give, I remember our why. When people are mean to me, but yet I'm nice to them, I remember my why. When I don't want to get up, because we got young kids and sleep is precious, y'all. It's precious. When I'd rather sleep in, because I'm the boss, like I could sleep in a little bit longer if I wanted to, but no. Why? Because I want people to be in heaven and not hell. And I got to tell you, this is our why. This is why we exist. I could care less about building my kingdom. I want to build God's kingdom. This is why I sacrifice. It's why I give. And we share this together. God wants us in heaven and not in hell. I want your coworkers in heaven. I want your family in heaven. I want you in heaven. And I got to tell you this, and this is a bold statement, but I believe it with all my heart. You will never convince me otherwise. But as long as there's one more person to reach in Houston, our church will always be too small. I'm just telling you, you will not move me from that. You can try, but you won't. As long as there's one person that doesn't know Jesus that's going to hell, unless somebody tells, we will always be too small because we want heaven full and hell empty. I'll scream until I have no voice, until everyone knows about Jesus and his love. That's my why, and you need to know your why. Let's pray. Heaven full, hell empty. God, like I've been praying all week, I'm not praying for new undiscovered truth. I'm praying for the truth that they already know to sink in deep. God, that switch would be flipped in their soul. God, whatever point was for us today, maybe all three, maybe one, maybe two, I pray that even now you would seal the deal in our hearts. We are chosen. You didn't get stuck with us. We were chosen by you. You love us. We're valuable. You paid a high price. I pray, God, that we would understand, like literally understand in a deep way that we are a royal priesthood. We are sons and daughters of the King. And I pray for probably the many listening in this room and online that haven't been using their voice. Maybe they declare your praises one day a week, but the other six, they're declaring their own praises. Maybe they build your kingdom occasionally, but 75% of the time, they're building their own kingdom. Holy Spirit, in the gentle yet convicting way that you do, I pray that you convict their hearts right now if that's them. God, we all have specific purposes, but we also share a purpose, and that's to declare your praises with our words, with our actions, with our life, with our calling, with our job, with our career. We'd always be looking for ways to get more people to heaven, because God, that's where you want us, and that's where we want others. So seal that work in our hearts today. As we finish this series, I pray, God, that it would be one of those series that they can look back on and say, man, that was the one that I really got my thinking correct, where I really got my path, where I understood my why. Gotta know our why. Help shape who we are. With eyes closed, heads bowed, all across the house today. The whole service, I've been specifically talking to Christians, Christ followers. Please, no one looking but me, just honoring this moment. And I want you to know today that all the promises I talked about from God's word, all of the good news, it's for you. But you got to make a choice. Are you going to surrender your life to Jesus now, or are you going to be forced to later? We've sung it all day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess one day. But here's what God wants for you. He doesn't want to make you. He wants you to choose him because he's already chosen you. What a beautiful opportunity you have today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to return his love for you back to him. And here's the amazing thing about God's grace is that you can't earn it. That even in your fear, even in your worry, even in your insecurity, even in your sin, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He wants you. Today, all you got to do is surrender your life to him. So those in this room and those listening online, if that's you, you look at your life, and even now you're thinking back to kind of your status with God. You see sin. You see separation. You just know. No pastor's got to tell you. You just know you are far from God. If that's you, my hope, my prayer, our mission as a church is to give you an opportunity to make things right with Jesus. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but neither do I. But that offer is being slid across the table to you today to surrender your life to Him. I'm not going to make you stand. We're not going to usher you to another room. But right where you're seated, you can surrender your life to Jesus. This could be your moment. Like, this could be your moment that changes everything because of Jesus. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you, you're far from God, but you want to get things right. Can you lift up your hand so I can see it? God, you're so good. Thank you so much. Come on, no one's looking but me. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, you're so good. You can respond online as well. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. All the Christians are praying underneath their breath right now because they know this is a holy moment. This is why we do. This is our why. Anybody else? Anybody else? Join the others. God sees you if you're listening online and you're responding. It doesn't matter where you are. Working out at the gym, at Starbucks, on the road somewhere, God sees you. He knows you. You can respond. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. All hands down. You can keep your eyes closed. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's the best part of our service every week. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of surrender to Jesus. It's not a fancy prayer. Pixie dust is not going to fall down from heaven. That's not how it works. But right where you're seated, Jesus sees you. And as you repeat this prayer out loud, a prayer of surrender, a prayer of confessing your sin before God, a prayer of putting your trust, your belief in Jesus, as you do that, Jesus sees you, He knows you, and He is faithful to forgive you. And no longer will you be on your way to hell, but now you'll be on your way to heaven, where Jesus wants you and where we want you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a crossing over from paths, a path that leads to death to now crossing over to a path that leads to life. So all those that raise their hand in this room and all those that raise their hand online, and then also all the Christ followers as support, I'm going to ask you to repeat this out loud and mean it with all your heart. Say this: Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for coming to this earth, for dying on the cross, from raising from the dead, so that I can be saved, so that I could be forgiven of all my sin, of every mistake. Jesus, right now, I surrender all. I put my trust, my belief, my faith in you and you alone. Jesus, I give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I surrender all. Come on, tell them that again. I surrender all. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for changing me and setting me free. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Can somebody get excited with me and celebrate? You can do better than that. People crossing over. New life in Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCovHouston.